Today, Shir Nadaf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim, Daf Zayin. And we're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Elias Schiff, Eliyahu ben Yaakov Alevi. That's Joey Schiff's father. Joey's the regular attendee of the Schiff for many years, and is the Gabbai at the 7:30 minyan that we normally daven at. And Be'ezus Hashem, his father's Neshama should have an Aliyah. All the Neshama should learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin on the very last line of Vav Omid Beis with the two dots, last line. And we tell us, we quote the Mishnah, Moser Nazir Linadover. We said that the money that was set aside for an individual Nazir, so if he doesn't need all of that money, the extra money that is left over goes to the Korbanos of the Tzibur for Ketz HaMizbeach in the shofar known as Nadova. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda tells us, that is true only in the situation where the chatos is the last korban. Again, there are three korbanos that a nazir brings to become the conclusion of his naziris. He brings an ola, he brings a shlamim, and he brings a chatos. So if the chatos is the last one, so in this situation, if there's extra money left over, in that situation, Rav Chisda says, only then is the excess funds given over to the shofar for nedava for bringing korbanos olos on Ketz HaMizbeach. However, avol e karvu shlomim besof, if the last carbon is a shlomim, so the extra money, so to say, is all extra funding for a shlomim, so then mosaron shlomim. Then the person brings his own private shlomim. It doesn't go for the korbanos sibur for kesem esbeach for olos, but he can bring with that extra money a shlomim. That's the opinion of Chisda. Rav Zeira disagrees. Amar Rav Zeira, he says no. Even in the situation where the last carbon is the shlamim, so the extra funds, one could argue, were for a shlamim, afilu karvu shlamim himself, the last one is shlamim. Nevertheless, he says the halacha, now we delete the word achasi according to the gra, so he says, the halacha l'moshe nisina is, bin nazir shetiyya mosara nedava. The halacha is, halacha hi, bin nazir, in regards to a nazir, any of the monies that are left over are considered as if the chatos is ma'uruv in them, even though the chatos was already paid for, and therefore it all goes into the shofar for nedava for Ketz HaMizbeach olos. Gemara says, Masnisa Masayel Adain, Umasnisa Masayel Adain. We have a braisa in support. This would be the equivalent in the Bible of having a Tanya Kavase for each of these two opinions. So, Masnisa and Tanya Kavase Masayel Adain is support of this one, and Umasnisa, we have a braisa in support of this one. So, we have a braisa in support of both Ruchista's statement and Ruzera's statement. We start off with the braisa in support of Ruzera. So, we have Masnisa Masayel Ruzera. The braisa in support of Ruzera is as follows. Now, we delete the word Zafilu, it's in parentheses, and it says, Eluhain Mos Stumen. The following are considered Mos Stumen. Mos is when a Nazir set aside a certain amount of money for his korbanos, and he didn't specify. They're Stumen. They're sealed. In other words, he didn't say, this money, $100 is for my chat, this is $100 for my ola, this is $100 for my shlam. He just says, here's $300 for all my korbanos. So it says in this brisa, Kol Shedemei Chatos, now we delete the word Mesos, that's what the gross says, Kol Shedemei Chatos Mu'uravin Bahen, he changes that gears around as well. So he says, all that the funds of the chatos were at one point mixed into these Mos Stumim, even Afilu Hifrish Demei Chatos Mitocha, even if he already paid for the chatos from this collection of funds, so let's say he had $300 and he took out the $100 to pay for his chatos, nevertheless, the money that's remaining, Mos Stumen Heim, the money that's remaining is considered still Mos Stumen, as if it has the chatos Ma'uriv in it, and therefore, the Moser of this funds go for Ketz HaMizbeach, for Olos, exactly like Zeira said. That's the braisa that's in support of Zeira. Then we have the Masnisa Masayel Rav Chisda. We have Tanya Kavosei L'Rav Chisda. We have the braisa in support of Rav Chisda that says, Elu L'chatosi, if a person says the following funds are for my chatos, he has to bring the chatos, the olam, the shlamim, and he says, the following $100 is for my chatos, Vashar, and the other $200, L'shar Nizirusi, are for the rest of my korbanos, in other words, for my ola and for my shlamim. So in this situation, Nebuch, the person dies, Umeis, and he died before buying any of the korbanos, but he designated the funds for them. So in this situation, Marlin Bechula, you would be Chayev Me'ila on all of them because they have the Chatos money mixed in with it. So we'll read the gears of the Gro. It's a little bit different than the gears that we have over here in Oz Gimel of the Gro. And he says, Elu l'chatos, he set aside this money for his chatos, vashar, and the remainder of the money, l'shar nezirosai, should be for the remainder of my nezirus korbanos, my ola, my shlomim, and then he dies, umeis. So demei chatos, the money that was set aside for the chatos, yelchul yam ha-melech, that goes into yam ha-melech, because we have the rule that if Nebuch, a person, dies, anything that he set aside for a chatos can't be used by anybody else, and this is one of the five chatos, that it goes, if you purchase the actual chatos animal, the animal will be put into the keep and die. And here the money, the funds, are thrown into the Yam HaMelech. That's the equivalent of having the money die. So that goes into Yam HaMelech. Bashar, and the remainder of the money, which is for both his Ola and his Shlamim, Yaviyu Chetz of Ola, with half of it you bring an Ola, the Chetz of Shlamim, and half of you bring a Shlamim, Umoal and Bechulin. If you use all of it up, then you're over Me'ila, because then you definitely use the Ola funds. The Ola funds are Kodesh Kodashim. If you use those funds, by using them, taking them out of Hekdesh, so then you're definitely Chayav Me'ila. However, the Ein Mo'alim B'Miktsasim, but you wouldn't be Chayav Me'ila for using part of them, because you could argue that that's the funds for the Karban Shlamim. The Karban Shlamim is Kachi Kalim, and there is no Din of Me'ila on them. And therefore, he concludes, we go back now to the Gemara, V'lo Omar Imeis Yiplul Nedava, and it doesn't end off and saying that if the person dies, that the money goes to Nedava. In fact, you only owe Me'ila if you use all of them. If you only use part of them, you're not Chayav Me'ila, because some of it's for Shlamim and some of it's Ola. So clearly, you don't say over here that the Mosarin is Nedava. The Mosarin is going to be half for Ola, half for Shlamim, and therefore, this is the Tanya Kavase to Rav Chista. Another thing that Rav Chista said, Rav Chista Amar, Mosar Lachmo Shel Nazir Yurkav, with the korbanos that a Nazir brings, so he also has to bring 20 breads, 10 breads over a certain type and 10 breads over another type. And these 20 breads come along with his korban shlomim, this is the Shalmei Nazir, and with these breads, if the Nazir Nebuch passes away, and you have these breads, so you just have to let the breads go and spoil. They're not allowed to go and be used by anybody else. Why not? So Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, because Mimanu Shach, you have no choice. He says, V'yos, this is 100% correct what Rav Chista said. Because Lakrivo, Bifnei Atzmo, to just go bring these breads by themselves, you can bring the Korban Shlomim by itself, but to just bring these breads by itself, Einat Yochol, you're not allowed to do this, because Shein Lecho Lechem, Korav Latzmo, because there's no such thing as bringing breads by itself. And you can't bring it as part of the Korban Shlomim, because the Korban Shlomim doesn't have breads with it. It's only the Shalmei Nazir that has breads with it, and this is not a Shalmei Nazir, this is a regular Shlomim. I give it to somebody else, lakrivo in nizirus acheres, to go and give it to another person who's bringing his nazir korbanos. You can't do that as well. Ein at yocho, you can't go and use this for that person, because when that person accepted upon himself nizirus, shein lecho nizirus ba below lechem, because he accepted upon himself to bring his own shlamim and his own breads, and therefore he can't use these breads. So therefore, lefum kein, therefore, tzorech meima, you must say, Moser lach Moshe Nazir Yurkav. This statement of Rav Chista is correct, that the excess of bread that's left over from a Nazir has to go and spoil. Similarly, Sovereign Meimar, in the Beis Medrash, they wanted to say that based upon this din of Rav Chista, that the same thing should apply. Hu lachmo, this applies over here to the lachme nazir that aren't used by the nazir. Similar din, hu mosar nisachav, the nisachav that come along with the Nazir, he has to bring certain wine libations and flour libations that go along with his Shlamim, so they too should also have to be Yarkiv. However, the Gemara says that's incorrect. Amar Rav Yossi, by Rabbi Bun, that's the Girsa that we have, the Nuscho Habavli says it's Amar Rav Yossi, bar Bibin. In any event, we'll keep our Girsa over here. Amar Rav Yossi, by Rabbi Bun, most are nisachav, the nisachim, the extra funds that he had for the nisachim, kodshe kodoshim inon. These funds are used for yiplu nadova. They go for nadova because these nisachim, paradoxically, the shlomim is kodshe kalim, but the nisachim that come, the wine and the flour libations that come with the shlomim are actually kodshe kodoshim. It's a quirk of the din, the yiplu nadova. Therefore, they go for nadova because any kodshe kodoshim that is not used, the moser for those funds, they fall linadova. As opposed to the moser of the shlomim itself, that would go for shlomim. So this is the opinion of Rav Yossi by Rabbi Bun that teaches us that the din by Rav Chista is that the Mosar Nisachim are in fact Yiplu Nedava. And this din, Al Date the Rav Yossi by Rabbi Bun, this din that Rav Yossi by Rabbi Bun just taught us in the name of Rav Chista, that the Mosar of the Nisachim of the Nazir, in fact, are used for Nedava, that is parallel din. And we'll keep the gears of the grove here just to keep things easy, but we have different Rabbanim that we are going to be giving their opinion over here. So we look in Oz Dalid in the Gra. He says, Hochi Garcinan, this al the opinion, al date, the Rav Yossi bar Bun, we have the similar din, U Shmuel. Now either this is Rav Chiyo or Rav Chista, and Rabbi Eliezer, Shloshtan Amru Dovor Echo. The three of them say one din. So what is that one din that they say? So the din is as follows. Shmuel, Yomar, Rav Yossi, that din which we had on yesterday, Shia Vavo Mibes, where Shmuel said in the name of Rav Yossi, Ad the Adah Tamon, while I was still in Bavel, Shomis, I heard, call Rabbi Yehuda, I heard the voice of Yehuda, Shaul Shmuel, asking Shmuel the question, Hifrish Shiklo, if a person was Mafrish Shekel, Matzis Shekel, and then Nebuchadnezzar died, what do you do with that money? So Amalei, so Shmuel had responded to Rabbi Yehuda, Yiplu Nedava. That money also goes for the shofar of Nedava, because in that situation, the Shkalim were intended to go and purchase the various korbanos sibra, which included kachi kadoshim. So therefore, this money goes to purchase the Keitz HaMizbeach Ola, which is kachi kadoshim. That was din number one. We had the din of Rabbi Elazar. What was the din of Rabbi Elazar? Also from yesterday's shir. Now, the girsa that we have is Omer, but it should be according to the Gra de Itmar, that it said over there, we learned yesterday's shir, Mosar Asiris Ha'efa Shalom. If you have the Kohen Gadol, that was one of the ways we interpreted it. The other way we interpreted it was talking about a Karbon Mincha of anybody from Klal Yisrael, but the simple understanding there was that it was talking about the Kohen Gadol's Chavitin, the Asiris Ha'efa that the Kohen Gadol brought. So we had the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, it said Yolichim Yam HaMelech, that it had to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech. But along came Rabbi Elazar. That was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Yochanan said it thrown into the Yam HaMelech. However, Rabbi Elazar Omer Yiplu L'Nedava, that in fact you go and use those funds because they were Kotshei Kadoshim. You use them for the shofar for Nedava for Keitz HaMizbeach. So these three opinions are all the same. I think I skipped the words. Actually, the first one that Rav Chista Ahan Damarin, that which we just said, that was the din of Rav Chista, but we already explained that out. So that was the one that was the first of the three. Okay, now we go to Halacha Hey, the fifth Mishnah. The Mishnah begins Mosar Shavuyim L'Shavuyim. Here we talk again about excess funds. If you collecting funds for Pidyon Shavuyim to go and redeem some people that were never captured, and you're going to ransom them, so you collected funds and you have extra funds. You know, you need to collect $1 million, and you collected $1.5 million. So what do you do with the extra $500,000? So Mosar Shavuyim L'Shavuyim, you use it to go and redeem other captives. Rachmana L'Tzlan, there are other people that need to be redeemed. So these funds, even though you use them for redeeming one person, you're allowed to use them for another person, the extra funds, because you didn't specify that you're collecting these funds for Reuven. However, if it was Moser Shavui, if you collected funds specifically to redeem Reuven, so then the extra funds, La'oso Shavui, they go to that specific person. He was, quote, embarrassed that those funds were being used to collect for him. People gave those funds specifically for him. So even though you collected more money than was needed, so you redeem him for the money that's needed, and the extra funds, he's using for his own personal usage. As the Korban Eidah says, in Pirshu L'Shavizeh, if you specifically collected on behalf of this person, Reuven, so Zocha Oso HaShavi B'Moser, so he's entitled to get all the leftovers. Similarly, if you have a general fund for poor people, and there's extra funding in this fund, so Moser Aniyim L'Aniyim, if you collected for poor people, the general, you're collecting for Moser Chita, and Baruch Hashem, you used up all the funds to pay for the poor people's needs, so then if there's extra funds in there, you leave it for other poor people. However, if you collect it specifically for a specific Ani, Moser Ani, if you collect it for Yankel, that poor Ani, so if there's extra funds there, more than he needs, it still, nevertheless, it goes to Yankel, Osa Ani. Again, part of the rationale is that he, Nebuch, was put out there and being embarrassed that people are collecting money on his behalf, so the money goes to him, he gets to have it. Similarly, we have a third din, Moser HaMesim LeMesim. If you're collecting funds for Nebuch the Chevra Kadisha to go and take care of the needs of people that are poor, that need to be buried. So, if you're collecting funds in general, and you didn't need it for Yankel, so then you can use it for Reuven, you use it for another Ani. However, here it's different. If you have Moser HaMes, if you collect the funds specifically for Yankel, in this situation, just like we had Moser Shvuyim for that specific Shavuot, you go to that specific Shavuot, you have Moser Ani, that goes to that specific Ani. So Tovia, what happens if you have Moser HaMeis? You collected money to bury Yankel, and then there's extra money. So we have a machlokas over here. The first opinion, the Tanakhama says, Moser HaMeis LeYorshav, it goes to his Yorshim. It goes to that specific person, but not for him. He's dead, Nebuch, so it goes to his Yorshim. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Reb Meir Omer, he says, no, we're not sure. Does it go for the usage of the mace? Maybe you'll, as we'll see, you buy extra things for that mace. You build a special tombstone. You build a special mausoleum. You do something special for that mace itself, because that's what the money was collected for. Or no, maybe we say it goes to the Yarshim. Well, the dead person doesn't need the money. He'd like it to go to his Yarshim. So Reb Meir says, we don't know whether the first opinion is right, that we just learned Moshe Meitz Liyoshev, or the third opinion, Rav Nasa's opinion, which you haven't learned yet, but as I just said, you buy him a special tombstone, you buy him a special mausoleum. So since Rav Meir says we don't know what to do with these funds, so Yeimunach, we leave until Eliyahu comes, Mary Remenu, and he'll decide all these tekus. And this is one of those tekus who gets this funding, the Yorshim or the actual Mace himself. And then we have the third opinion, Rabbi Nosson Omer, most Ramez, Boni Lo Nefesh Al Kibro. For the Nebuch, the funds that were collected for this person, they have to be used for this person, so you build him some sort of a monument, a Nefesh Al Kibro. You put up extra tombstones and extra mausoleums, and you do all sorts of stuff. The Gemara will say, maybe sprinkle some wine in the area of the mace as a cover for the mace. You put up lights for the cover of the mace. You do something to cover the mace, even though it wasn't necessary. But there's extra money, so you use it to cover the mace. Gemara starts off and says, Gavulo b'cheska she'enlo. If they collected money for a person, Nebuch, to bury him, because they assumed that there was nothing in the Yerusha. And then it turns out, he did have money, he already paid, he prepaid his Chever Kedisha, so now all the money that they collected is extra. So what do you do in this situation? So Rav Yirmiyah Sovar Meimar, Rav Yirmiyah thought to say that most Rameis Liyarshav, he wanted to paskin here like the Tanakama. And he said, in this situation where you collected money that was unnecessary, so then it should go to the Yarshim, Mistama. That's what the mace would want it to go for. That's what Yirmiyah's opinion was. However, Amar Le Rav Idi, the Chutra, Rav Idi, who came from a city, Tikkun Chadin says the Chutra is the name of a place, and he told him that you're incorrect. He told him, Rav Idi from Chutra said, Hagei Atzmucha, go check yourself out. As the Tikkun Chadin says, Klomar, Ti'ayin bazel, look into this. The Timtza delo damyan ahadadi. This is not the same thing as when they collected money specifically for the mace, as opposed to here they collected money erroneously for the mace. He said delo kavna elalei, because in this situation, the people that donated money said that they wanted it to go to him. They were collecting money for him, as the Tikkun Chadin said. Shanostim, the people that gave money lo kibnu elalei. They wanted to give it to this mace. They wanted to honor this mace, the lowly Yorshim, and not for his Yorshim. V'hocha kivan sheyeshlo v'lo yukach mehem klum. Since in this situation he had enough money and there was no need to collect any money in the first place, so he had no needs whatsoever. And you're saying that the Yorshim should get this money? Most are mace the Yorshim. It doesn't make any sense, because adaita d'hochi vadil lo hisnatu. They never intended to give it to the Yorshim. I have a chikitoni in the Mishnah, most are mace liyarsha, that they did intend to give it to the Mishnah. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. That's because, hainu shinitosar imos nidvosam, because there was a need and there was just extra funds. So, ash achar shinasit sarche ha mace, after the mace's needs were taken care of, mistama, in that situation, we can say the amode daitehu, that we can estimate that in that situation, the hamisnadim da daita dahochi isnadu. They knew betchila from the beginning that maybe they're going to collect too much. And they said, okay, anything that we collect extra, we'll give a little bit extra to the Yorshim. I mean, Tosar, Sheli Yorshav, the Efshel Tzamtzim, because they knew from the start that it's impossible to calculate this out exactly. So they said, okay, we're going to have to collect $100, but maybe the burial will come in for only $50. Okay, the extra money will go to the Yorshim. But here, there was no need in the first place for the funds, so you return the funds to the people that gave it, because they never intended that the extra funds should go to the Yorshim. That's what Ravidi from Chutra told Rav Yirmiyah. The Korban Eda has a similar idea. He says that when they gave it, they intended it lezakos l'hameis. Here, in the case of Rav Yirmiyah, they were intending it to show for the mace. V'kivin sheyeshlo, and since it turns out that he actually has enough, lo zocha bo hameis meolam. The mace never got it. V'ech yisku yarshabo. How then can the yarshim get it if the mace, quote, didn't get it? Hilkoch machazir noso la nosdim. You have to give the funding back to the people that donated it, if you can, and they have sure, or give it for other mason. If they're not around, you don't know who gave the money, so then you put it into the kitty. The Chever Kedish will use it for other mason. So both the Tikkun Chadin and the Korban Eda say that Rav Idi is telling Rav Yirmiyah that you're wrong. Now Rav Yirmiyah is not happy about this. The Korban Eda even says he got angry. Rav Yirmiyah responded because Al Shaheshiv Al Dvarav, that he answered him in this way, in a somewhat chutzpahdik way, that he told him, Hagei ba'atzmucha, why don't you check it out better, because you're wrong. And therefore, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah says to Ravidi Chutra, Ano lo amris, I didn't say, this is the way the Korban Eda understands this, I don't say anything without you, you're my Talmud, you only know what you know from me, and I didn't say anything about this, Ad minolach, so where do you get your idea that you should tell me that I'm incorrect. You only know what I know. And therefore, I never said anything about this like you're saying, so how do you know it? That's the lashon that the Korban Eidah uses. He says, he responded, because, al sheheshiv al dvarav, halo ein ato yodea elema shamarti lecha. You only know what I taught you. V'dover zeh lo amarti lecha. I never taught you this. And how were you able to respond to me? And the similar lashon is used by the Tiklun Charetin. He says to him, the Alma, we have an expression, Rebbe lo shana, Chia minaylo. Rebbe Chia was a star pupil of Rebbe. So we have in the Gemara, in the Bavli, it says in a number of places, that if Rebbe didn't say something, then how would Chia have known it? So Mestama, Rebbe Chia, was saying what Rebbe had taught him. So to over here, Rav Yirmiya says to Rav Idi from Chutra, how would you know it if I didn't teach it to you? So why are you being so strong in saying that my opinion is wrong? In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Tani b'shem Rabbi Nosson, we learned a brisa that says, like Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson's was the opinion that it goes for the tzorchei ha-meis, most ha-meis, the extra money that was collected for this specific meis, yibonin lo nefesh al-kivro. Like we said in the Mishnah, you build a monument, you build a tombstone on the grave site, or alternatively, the yosalo ziluf al-gabi mitoso, or you go and sprinkle wine in front of the bier, B-I-E-R, and in this way, the smell, the nebuch, the decaying smell of the maize comes sometimes in the Mediterranean hot sun. If they didn't bury right away, could nebuch start to decay? So they would sprinkle this wine to give it a nice aroma, and it should nebuch have the smell of a body decay. Margatino says, Tani, within the Braisa, ain podim shavui bishavui. We don't go and redeem one captive with the money that was specifically collected for another captive. Like we said in the Mishnah, if you have most that were specifically intended for one captive, so they have to be used for that captive. Similarly, the Braisa says, Vein govin kalitz betalis. If you collected money to buy a certain thing for a poor person, a certain garment for a poor person, you can't go and use that money to go for a different poor person, because you specifically collected these funds for Yanko, so you can't use them for Reuven. However, the Braisa concludes that the Gabbai Tzedakah ultimately is allowed to change it around if they find it necessary. Vein memachim, we don't go and protest b'yad ha'parnosim in front of the people that are running this Tzedakah fund over here, the leaders of the community, lekach. If they do make such a switch, basically, there is always a presumption that when you're giving the money to the leaders of the community, even though they're collecting it on behalf of Reuven, and they're collecting it on behalf of certain stock of purpose for Shimon, that they're collecting the money for this type of a garment, if they feel that it needs to be changed, that they have the right to go and change it. You're basically giving it to them to use any way they see fit, even though they're collecting it on behalf of so-and-so or on behalf of a specific captive. Nevertheless, if they feel that there is ultimately a superior need for these funds, so while they shouldn't be going and collecting for one thing and using it for something else, if they feel that there is a specific situation that requires that, you don't protest. They have the right to do so. Basically, it's their das that you're giving the money for, whatever they feel is appropriate. So while they shouldn't change it around, if they feel there's a need to change it around, they are allowed to. Mark continues by quoting another brisa, Tani, Shimon Galil Omer, ain't osin nefoshel se tzadikim. Since we just mentioned that you go, Rabbi Nosson's opinion was that you go and put up some sort of a monument on the kever of the mace if you collected extra funds for that mace. So Rabbi Shimon Galil says that that's not something you do for tzaddikim. Ein osim nefoshos letzaddikim, because divrayin hein zichronon, because the monument isn't necessary for them. The words of Torah that are said on, when we just learned this din of Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer, so that's a better monument than any statue that we could have put up, any tombstone that we could have put up for Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. The fact that we're learning Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's statement right now, as we'll see in a moment, Sifsosov Rochashin Bakever, his lips are moving, so to say, in the grave. We're remembering Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel by saying over his memra, and you don't need a physical monument. His words of Torah are alive still today. And that leads us into an interesting discussion in the Gemara of this concept of the words of tzaddikim continue after their death, and it's as if the tzaddikim are still saying those words. And we go into a very interesting story, a famous story. Rav Yochanan, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael in the first generation of Amorayim, right after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 100 years, Rav Yochanan was the redactor of the Talmud Yerushalmi, so that's why his name is mentioned here already a number of times. So Rav Yochanan havi mismach v'ozal ol Rav Chia bar Abba. Rav Yochanan was being supported, havi masmich and v'ozal ol, and he would lean on him while they were walking together, and he leaned upon his talmid, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Now, why did he have to lean on him? So the Tikkun Charitin gives two explanations. The first one was that he was a Baal Basar, that he was an obese person, or Yochanan described as being a Baal Basar, and therefore he needed help in being supported. It was difficult for him to walk. Alternatively, the Tikkun Charitin brings down that he had very, very long eyelashes, and he therefore couldn't really see in front of him because his eyelashes covered his eyes. So he couldn't really see in front of him, so therefore he needed somebody to help support him. And that's what Rav Chiya bar Abba did. He directed him while they were walking. In any event, V'hoya Rabbi Eliezer Chomilei. And Rabbi Eliezer, his Talmud, now this is really not Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Elozer bar Pedas. This is the famous Talmud of Rav Yochanan. First, Rav Yochanan learned with Reish Lakish. He was a Talmud Chaver. Reish Lakish was a Talmud Chaver of Yochanan. When, unfortunately, Reish Lakish died, a whole famous story about how that happened. So Rabbi Elozer bar Pedas, took over as being the Talmud Chaver of Rav Yochanan. So this Rabbi, it should be Rabbi Elozer, not Rabbi Eliezer. Chomilei, Rabbi Eliezer saw Rav Yochanan umit marlei mikameh and didn't go over to say hello to him. He hid from his Rabbi. Rabbi Elozer hid from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan saw this and was upset. The Omar, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who was leading him, Holein tarte milayu, hodein bavlo ovid bey. Two things, this bavloi, Rabbi Elozer ben Pedas came up from Babel to learn by Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, said two things this bavloi, this Rabbi Elozer ben Pedas, did to me that I find difficult. He did two things to me that are troublesome. Number one, chada delo shah bishlame. He should have come up to me and said, how are you doing, Rabbi? That's number one. Now the gesa that we have is v'chada, number two, is the following. Now if you keep this gersa, so then we're going to have a third one later on. But if you have the gersa changed over here by the gra to the od mitmar, and this is still a continuation of number one, not only doesn't he come up to me and say hello, but he even hides from me, so he doesn't even have to greet me at all, never mind to ask me how I'm doing. So this is either two separate statements, or this is one statement, depending on the gersa. So this is why Rav Yochanan first was upset at Rav Elozer ben Pedas. So Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Idi. So Rav Yaakov bar Idi, who was nearby also, tried to mollify Rav Yochanan, and he said, Kach nehigin gavom. This is the way the Babylonians act. I myself was from Bavel, and this is what we were taught to do. The Zera, a younger person, a Talmud, lo shal b'shlomi the rabbi. It's inappropriate for him to go over to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, hi, how you doing? That's a lack of respect for the Rebbe. The Inun, Nagun, Umakaimin, because we follow in Bavel, we were taught to follow the following pasuk, the pasuk from Eov, where it says, Reuni na'arim v'nechbo v'yishishim kamu. It said the young people would see their Rebbe and they wouldn't go to them. They would hide themselves. Whereas an older person could go and say Shalom Aleichem. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Ridi said, don't be upset at Rabbi Elozer, because he's just doing what he was taught to do in Bavel, which is that you act very, very humbly in front of your Rebbe, and it's considered a chutzpah to go up to the Rebbe and say, hi Rebbe, how are you doing? So therefore, don't be upset with him. Amar Lei, so Rav Yaakov bar Idi said further to Rav Yochanan, Mahu lemevad kamei ladure tzame. To drive home this point, Rav Yaakov bar Idi said to Rav Yochanan, what should a person do? What should a person do? Lemevad kamei da adure tzame. If he goes and passes in front of a certain avodah zarah known as adure tzame, in front of this idol. So, what should he do? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan says to him, what are you talking about? What should he do? You just walk right by. Ma'at palig le'yakar. Why are you giving him any sort of a kavod, of a yakar? Just walk right by. And that will be avar kamoi, pass in front of it, samei einai. And so to say, put out its eyes by not showing it any kavod at all. Just walk right by. Don't look at it. Don't bow towards it. Don't give it any sign of chashivas at all. There's no bigger busha that you could do to this than just ignoring it. So Rabbi Yaakov says, aha, Rebbe, now you understand. Amalei, Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yochanan, now you understand, Yos Rabbi Elozer, that Rabbi Elozer, he did the right thing of it, that he didn't say hello to the Rebbe, the law of our kamach, because if he'd come in front of you, it would have been, so to say, disrespectful, just like you walk by the idol and don't give it any attention. If he had walked by you over here, he wouldn't be able to greet you, because the Pasuk in Eo says that he's not allowed to greet you because it's improper for the Talmud to go and greet the Rebbe. So he would have walked by you and ignored you. So therefore, that would have been a bigger bizoyon, Rachmana Litzlan, to the Rebbe. And of course, that's not what his intention was. So Rav Yaakov bar Idi said, don't worry, Rav Elozer did the right things to you. He didn't in any way mean to disrespect you. Now, according to the Girsa that we had before, that it wasn't the Chada, the second one wasn't that he hit himself, but that was just a continuation of the first one. So now we have the second statement. V'od, Avir HaBavla, Rav Yochanan said, and the second thing that this Bavla, that Rav Elazar did to me was, D'lo Amar Shmaisa Mishmei. He didn't say over the members that I taught him. He's my Talmud. And he keeps on saying all these things without mentioning that Rabbi Elazar doesn't say that Rabbi Yochanan taught it to him. Rav Elazar just says it in his own name, so to say. He doesn't say, I learned this from Rav Yochanan, my Rabbi. Now, Nichnasu Lufonov, Rav Ami Ravasi. Meanwhile, these other great first generation Amorim and Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ami Ravasi, the star pupils of Rav Yochanan, they also came now in front of Rav Yochanan, and they heard what was going on, and they tried to mollify Rav Yochanan as well. Amrulo, they said to Rav Yochanan, Rebbe, they called Rav Yochanan their Rebbe, of course, Kacha Yomaisa, they successfully Tarsiyim. In fact, Rebbe, don't be upset, because there once was a Maisa in the shul of the Tarsiyim. Tarsiyim are people that work with copper, and they had their own shul. Many of the professions had their own shul for a number of reasons, either because this way, when people needed to hire a coppersmith, they would go to the coppersmith shul, and they would have plenty of coppersmiths there. Alternatively, they had the same schedules, and they wanted to always daven together because they had the same schedules. Or, sometimes, like by the tanners, they had a very offensive odor about them because of the work that they did, and therefore nobody else wanted to daven them, so they had their own separate shuls. In any event, in this shul of the coppersmiths, they once had a debate there in the shul what the halacha was. And regarding to Beneger, Sheesh Beroshu Galustra, they were dealing with a certain type of a lock on the door, a bolt on the door, that at the end it had a certain type of a knob on it. And this knob was connected via chain, with a chain to the post, the bolt in the door, and they would be able to use this potentially on Shabbos as a kli. So the question was, could they or could they not use this as a kli on Shabbos? Was it muktzah or not? Shenachlaku, we turn to Zayin Amud Beis, that they had a big machlokas over there between Rabbi Eliezer. Now this is not Rabbi Elazar, this is the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, this is the Tana Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua. I always make a little mnemonic for myself, that the Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, how do you remember which one is which? So Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, that's the Shamua is the word S, has the letter S in it, Shamua, so that's the sage, that's the older one. And Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, so Pedas stands for pediatric, that's the younger one. No, that was a mnemonic that worked for me to help remember it, maybe it'll work for you as well. In any event, this Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua and Rabbi Yossi, the great Tana Rabbi Yossi, these two great Tanoim, they had a machlokis as to whether you can or not use this glustera, and Achakaru Sefer Torah bechamasa. And in the midst of their machlokis, they tore Sefer Torah in anger. So therefore, one shouldn't be angry. Therefore, Rav Ami and Rav Asi said to Rav Yochanan, don't be angry at your Talmud, Rav Elazar. Nothing good will come from it. The Gemara stops and says, what? Rav Elazar and Rav Yossi, Torah, Sefer Torah, their anger? Impossible. Karu Sokadaitach? Impossible. So what they ended up saying was, Eloshenikra Sefer Torah. Somehow, in their zeal to show what they were saying was correct, so each one took out a Sefer Torah and said, look over here. And he said, no, look over here. And when they showed the places to each other, somehow the Sefer Torah ripped. So because of this anger, a Sefer Torah ended up getting torn. And therefore, Rav Ami and Rav Asi told Rav Yochanan the following rest of the story. There was another Rabbi Yossi over there, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. He was a Zakein, and he said, Omar, when he saw that Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua and Rav Yossi were fighting, and it caused the Sefer Torah to be ripped because of their anger. So he said, Omar, Timihani, I would be shocked if lo have a beis hakneses zeh beis avodah zarah. If because of this anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left Shechina, left this place, and therefore it's a vacuum, and avodah zarah will come in and take over this place, and kach hoya. In fact, that's what happened. And therefore, Rav Ami and Rav Asi told Rav Yochanan, it's not good for you to get mad at Rabbi Elazar, your Talmud. This made Rav Yochanan even more upset. The cause of Yomar, Rav Yochanan says to them, Hachidein mechavrei, are you comparing me to these two Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi? They were contemporaries, they were colleagues, but they shouldn't get mad at each other. But a Rebbe is mechuyev, is obligated to get mad at his Talmud if the Talmud's not doing something right. So it's bad enough that you're not giving me some comfort by mollifying me in some way, by appeasing me in some way, but in fact you're making me even more mad because you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar, not only am I not allowed to get angry at him, he's like my colleague, he's not my Talmud. So therefore, wasn't happy with the response that Rav Ami and Rav Asi gave him. So again, Nichlan Safon of Rav Yaakov Vidi. Rav Yaakov Vidi, again, who was the one that placated Rav Yochanan a little bit earlier in the story. So he comes in now and he says, Amale, he says, Rav Yochanan, no, the Pasuk says, Kasiv, Kashet Siva Hashem is Moshe Abdo, Kain Siva Moshe Shoshu Vagomer. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, not call it Torah Kula, so after Moshe's death, so Moshe told Yeshua, all the dinim, before he died, and then Yeshua carried on Moshe's traditions after Moshe Rabbeinu died. Now, every time Yeshua spoke, did he say, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught me, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught me? No, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi said, V'chi kol dibur v'dibur, show Yeshua Yoshe v'dorish, ha-yo-omer. Do you think that every single time Yeshua sat and learned, he said, kachem Moshe, kachem Moshe, kachem Moshe? No, of course not. Elo Yeshua Yoshe v'dorish. Yeshua would sit and give the shir, and everybody knew that Yeshua was Yoshe v'holim. He was constantly hunar. He was the person who was always in the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they knew that nothing that Yeshua said came from anybody other than Moshe Rabbeinu. El Yeshua Yoshe v'doresh v'yodin ha-kosha, Torah Shemoshe. Everybody knew it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua didn't have to say, this is what Moshe taught me, this is what Moshe taught me. There's nothing else other than what Moshe taught him. So Rav Yaakov Ridi says to Rav Yochanan, it's the same with your Talmud, Rav Elazar bar Pardas. Rav Elazar bar Pardas is so much your Talmud. Af ata Elazar, again, it should be each time Elazar, not Eliezer. Yoshe v'doresh, v'kol yodin shatora shalachahi. Everybody knows that anything that Rav Elazar, your Talmud, says is totally yours. In fact, the Bavli tells us that after Reish Lakish passed away, so Rav Elazar took over for him, and Rav Elazar said, Rebbe, you taught us this, you taught us that, and he told him either 14 or 21 ways that everything that you said, I can prove to you that you're right. And Rabbi Yochanan said, all you do is support what I'm saying. Reish Lakish used to argue with what I was saying. So I need somebody to argue with me to prove that I have to think better. All you're doing is supporting everything that I say. So you see that Rabbi Elazar bar Pardas would always say over everything that Rabbi Yochanan said. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Avinu said, don't be upset that he doesn't say it over in your name. Everybody knows it's really in your name. This finally made Rabbi Yochanan very happy. And on the land, Rabbi Yochanan tells to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, why don't you learn how to go and mollify me? You should take a note from Rav Yaakov Ridi, how he was able to make me happy. He was able to appease me because of this wonderful understanding of from Yeshua to Moshe. So Rav Elazar is to me like Yeshua was to Moshe. So you should learn how to go and appease me and make me feel good the way Rav Yaakov Bar Idi did. Not with what you said, which actually got me angry in saying that he's my colleague rather than he's my Talmud. No, why was Rav Yochanan so interested in having Rav Elazar say over the Vorts in his name? Rav Yochanan, my coolie high, what was going on over here? So much the boy that he wanted so much, the Emir Shmaita Mishmei. Rav Yochanan was not a Bal Gaiva, Rachmana Leslan, he was the great Rav Yochanan. Why was he so interested that Rav Elazar should say over the members in his name? Because the Gemara says, the Av David Bikesh Ola Rachmim, when David was nearing the end of his days, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Shenemar, please, Ogura, let me live B'olcha in your dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash Olamim, forever. Echse B'seisa K'nofecho Sela. I want to be constantly under your wings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? Did David HaMelech think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would let him live forever? After all, that's not the way the Bria was created. After Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so therefore death was decreed on the world. So therefore he couldn't be asking Hashem, let me live forever. That was just something that you didn't ask for. This is what David asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, Eske, let it please be the schus for me, should devorai ne'amorim, bebati knesios, bebati medrashos, even after I die. So let my words continue to be said. David HaMelech, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, he always said, Aliba de Hilchasa. It was Ocha that his psak halacha always was correct, and that's always the way that we paskin. So David HaMelech was asking Kodesh Baruch Hu, let the words of Torah that I say be continued to be said even after my death in the bati knesios and the bati medrashos. Now, Shimon ben Nezira, b'shem Yitzchak Amar, an additional statement that Shimon ben Nezira said in the name of Yitzchak, he said as follows, Kol Talmud Chacham Shomer Dvar Halacha Mipi Bolam Hazeh, whenever a Talmud Chacham, his words are said over in this world, so then, in that situation, Sefasov Rochashos Imo Bekever, his lips, even though he's dead, so his lips, so to say, move in the grave. There's some that understand this literally. They say that a great Talmud Chacham, his body doesn't decay. So literally, his lips are able to move. Whether you stand this literally or understand this in a metaphysical way, in other words, that Talmud Chacham that died, so to say, his words live on. And therefore, it's as if he still is alive in this world. That's what David HaMelech was saying. That's what the Shimon ben Nazir said. Shenemar, this is based upon the Pasuk, that we have in Shir HaShirim, Shenemar v'chikech kiyein hatov v'gomer, dovev sifse yishenim. So your mouth is like this very good wine, and the lips move over here while you're sleeping, which means while you're in the ground, while you're in Nebuch, in a dead state. Mako mishalim oven zeh, just like a bunch of grapes that have been heated up. Kivin sheminiach odem etzbo'olov miyad dovev, just like if you didn't touch it, it's heated up and the juice inside of it moves about. So too, asif sosein shol sadikin. Kivin sheomen dover aloch mipim shol sadikim, sisosein mirachashos imon bekever. So too, the lips of the tzadikim, they're, so to say, moving in the kever. They are saying over the words of Torah that they said in their lifetime. When you say it over after they pass away, it's as if they're still alive and saying it over. And therefore, Rav Yochanan was afraid that if Rav Elazar didn't say over the words in his name, that when he was dead, people would know that he was the one that made this memra, or said this memra, and therefore he was upset about that. Now, the word says, Mahanolo, why exactly is there any pleasure? So he didn't have his lips moving in the grave. So the word says, no, there's a certain pleasure, a metaphysical pleasure that a person gets in this situation. Bar Nazir Omar, the Shimon ben Nazir said, that the pleasure is like kahade deshose konditin, like somebody drinks this very fancy type of spiced wine. Or Yitzchak Omar, similarly, kahade deshose chamir atik, and somebody drinks a special older wine. And both of these, what's the benefit? Afo gav deles lay, or afo gav deshose lay, again, different gersos over here. Whether you no longer have this wine, or whether you drank it all up, tama bafuma, the taste of this delicious wine still remains in your mouth. And therefore, that's what it is. Even though you're no longer in this world, so to say, the taste of this world still lingers in your mouth. In other words, you're still living in this world, even though you're in the Olam HaEmes as well. Rav Gidl Amar, Rav Gidl said, Omer Shmuel B'Shem Omro, when a person says something over the name of another person, Yira Baal Shmuel Kilo Omid L'Negdo, it's as if that person is standing right in front of them. That's how great it is. And therefore, you can say the words over carefully. It's as if you imagine that person is standing in front of you. Shemar, Ach B'Tselem Yishalach Ish. So it's when you have the visage of your Rebbe in front of you, you can say over the Vort correctly. Furthermore, Ksiv, Rav Odom Yikra Ish Chasto. It says about a person who's a great person, so it says about him, Zeh Shar Kol Odom, with other people, V'ish Emunim Mi Yimtza. Who are you going to find? A person that's a Baal Emunah. This is a reference, Zeh Rabbi Zeira. With saying here, this is alluding to somebody like Rav Zeira. What did Rav Zeira do? Domer Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira said, Less than Tzrichin Choshin L'Shmaiti Rav Sheshes. Don't listen so carefully to what Rav Sheshes tells us, because Rav Sheshes was a blind person. Du Gavra Mifascha, this is a Saginar, this is a euphemism over here. He has open eyes, which means that Nebuch, he was blind, and he couldn't see his Rebbe in front of him, and therefore, he's not going to be able to say over the Vart of his Rebbe in the exact way, because you have to see the Rebbe in order to be able to say over the Vart perfectly. Similarly, Amalei Rav Zeira L'Rabasi, Rav Zeira said to Rabasi, Chakim Rebbe L'Bar Pasya, he's saying over these words of Bar Pasya, did you hear the Rebbe say them directly yourself? The Atom Ashmaisi Mishmei, that you're able to say it over exactly? Are you certain? Did you watch him say it? So Rav Asi said, Omalei, I didn't see Bar Pasi say it. However, Rav Yochanan Amr Mishmei, I saw Rav Yochanan say it over the name of Bar Pasya. And certainly Rav Yochanan is reliable that if I say it over in the name of Bar Pasya, because I heard it from Rav Yochanan, I'm going to say it correctly. Similarly, Omalei Rav Zira Rav Asi. Another time Rav Zira said to Rav Asi, Chakim Rebbe L'Rav, did you hear Rav actually say the statement that you're saying over in Rav's name? How can you be sure you're saying it over correctly? You didn't see him say it. The Atam Hashmaisa Bishmei, that you're saying it over. So Amalei, so Rav Asi said, no, I didn't see Rav say it. However, I heard Rav Adav Arava Amr Bishmei, and Rav Adav Arava, certainly if I heard it from him, then I know he said it over correctly in the name of Rav. Finally, we conclude this parak with Ein Dorsh Ein Bo Leitzonim. There is no generation that doesn't have Leitzonim. Leitzonim, the Gemara tells us after, the Katzel Leitzonim isn't Zochet Olam Abba. The people that mock, the people that ridicule. So they can destroy a drasha, they can destroy something because of their Leitzonim. So it says, there is no generation that doesn't have Leitzonim. Now the Girsa that we have is Kid Doro, but it means Bidoro Shel David. They were Leitzonim in the generation of David. Mehayu Prutzei Ador Osim. What did they say? So they used to make fun of David HaMelech. Hayu Hochen Eitzel Chalonoso Shel David. They would go by the windows of David HaMelech and say to him, Omer Lo, David, David, Emosai Yibodei Beis HaMikdash. When will the Beis HaMikdash be built? We're waiting for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, they all had an understanding that David HaMelech wasn't going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And only after his death would his son Shlomo HaMelech be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So they basically were saying to David, no, why don't you die ready so we can have the Beis HaMikdash? And Masai Beis HaShem Nelech, we want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. When will we go to the Beis HaMikdash? So they were basically saying, David, go die. And David said to them, even though you're doing this to anger me, I'm not going to get angry. I was actually happy. And it's like a Shavuot over here. He says, Yavo alai, the trouble should happen to me if I really wasn't happy. In other words, I was very happy because Dechsiv, so Machti Bomim Li, Beis HaMelech. I was actually happy when people said, let us go to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, they were saying, I hope I die that they can go to the Beis HaMikdash. Because, Ki Yimlu Yomecha Vishachati Savosecha, because it says, when a person's days are complete, then he'll go lie down with his fathers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu David, Yomim Shleim Yonimon Lecha, I'm going to count your full days. David HaMelech was given 70 years from Adam Arishon, the Medrash says, and Hashem said to him, I'm not going to take off one day from your days to bring the Beis HaMikdash earlier. Lo yom chaserim, not one day will I take off from the 70 years that have been given to you. Klum Shlomo bincha yibana Beis HaMikdash. What's going to be when you die? So Shlomo HaMelech is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going to happen in the Beis HaMikdash? El ha'akriv kabana sibra. They're going to bring kabana sibra there. Big deal compared to your life. He says, they're only going to bring Karban HaSibra in the Beis HaMikdash. That's nothing. Chaviv light stock or mishpah shata osa. It's much more pleasurable to me. It's more dear to me that stock and mishpah that you're doing, Yosef min HaKarbanos, Yosef min HaKarban, all the Karbanos that they're going to bring in the Beis HaMikdash aren't as important to me. Your stock and chesed, your stock and mishpah are more dear to me. Shinemar, asot stocka, when you do stocka, or mishpah, when you do stocka, charity, and you do justice, Nivchal Hashem Mizevach, that is more preferable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any karban. With this, we conclude the second parak. Hadron Lechem Mitzarfim Shkolim, Hadron Lechem Mitzarfim Shkolim, Hadron Lechem Mitzarfim Shkolim. I don't know why here it doesn't say parak Mitzarfim Shkolim like it said in the first, after the first parak, but in any event, this concludes this parak. And now we'll begin, we have a few minutes left, we'll continue starting the third parak. And the Mishnah begins, Mishnah Aleph, Halacha Aleph, with a din that we have discussed already previously in this Masechta. B'shlosha prokim b'shana, there are three times during the year, tormin salishka, that they would go and begin to take out the funds from the fiscal year to buy the korbanos for that year. These three times are related to the Shlosh Regalim, and we'll see they have a parallel to a din in regards to Maisa Behema. So the Mishnah tells us they would take out the Trumas HaLishka, B'prosa Pesach, at the halfway point, the part, pros means a part, a half of the holiday of Pesach, which Be'ezus Hashem we're coming up and celebrating. When I'm dictating this, it's before Pesach. You may be listening to this already on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Befros to Atzeres, at the halfway point to Atzeres, the normal Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag that you're supposed to learn about the dinim of the holidays. So the pros means part of that, so the halfway point. So the halfway point before Pesach, 50 days before Pesach, 50 days before Shavuos, Befros to Atzeres. Atzeres is always the way we refer to Shavuos. And Befros to Achag, Sukkot is always called the Chag. So these are the times that they would do the Trumas HaLishka. They would take out from the funds that were already collected, and they would use those to purchase the Korbanos Sibur for the next period of time. The Haim Goranos Shalmaisa Behema. They also were the Gorin. The Gorin over here is like a borrowed term that we use from Meiser, the storehouses for Meiser. So they also use this term over here for the storehouses for Meiser Behema. In other words, that these would be the times that they would go and separate the Maisa Behema from the animals. They would pass them through the corral, and the tenth one would be determined to be Maisa Behema, which was eaten like the dinim of a Korban Shlomim. It was eaten by the Balaam. It wasn't given to the Levim. It wasn't given to Kohanim. It was eaten by the Balaam, but they had to be mafrish, each tenth animal that was born in that year, and they were divided up into three parts as well. This is the opinion, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. We'll learn more about this in the Gemara. The second opinion is Benazai. Benazai Omer. Benazai was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud Chaver. He was Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law. And Benazai says, Be'esu Mitisha Ba'adar. It was not on the 15th day of pre-Pesach, Befrosa Pesach, but it was specifically on the 29th day of Adar. What's the Machlokis? Isn't that the 15th day before? So it depends. Rabbi Akiva holds that sometimes you could have an Adar that would be 30 days, and sometimes 29 days. And Benazai says it's always going to be 29 days, so therefore it's Be'esim V'tisha Ba'adar is going to be Befrosa Pesach. That's going to be 15 days before Pesach. Pesach, of course, is always Tesvav, so it's going to be on the 29th day of Adar. That's the first Trumas HaLishka, and also when they would do the Maisa Behema. Second one, the Echa B'Sivan. He said that the Bedavka took off the Maisa Behema not 15 days before Shavuos, because there would not necessarily be a lot of animals that would be born between Pesach and Shavuos, so they waited a little bit, and they went to Echa B'Sivan. And the third time that they did Maisa Behema, Be'esim V'tisha Ba'av, he held that the year ended on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so therefore, the last day for Maisa Behema for that year was the 29th day of Av. That's the opinion of Benazai. And we have a third opinion in the Mishnah. This is Rebbe Lazar. We call him Rebbe Lazar over here, as we do in the Yerushalmi very frequently. Rebbe Lazar of Rebbe Shimon, these two great Tanoim, this is not the Talmud Amora that we just were discussing a few moments ago, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, but this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, both of these two great Tanoim, Omrim, they said, the Echad ben Nisan, that the first time that they did the Maisa Behema was on the first day of Nisan. They held that that is the start of the first Maisa Behema, Be'echa B'Sivan, for the similar reasons that Ben Azai said, and then Be'esavet Tisha Be'elul, they hold that the end of the year for the Maisa animals is the first day of Tishrei, and since you can't take it off on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore the 29th day of Elul was the last day that they could take off Maisa Behema. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Why didn't they say Echad B'Tishrei? That we know is the famous Rosh Hashanah that we tell us in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that there are Arba Rosh Hashanahs, and one of them is Echad B'Tishrei for Maaseh Behema. So why didn't they be mafrish it on Echad B'Tishrei? So the Mishnah tells us, because it's Yontif, and we don't mafrish our Maaseh Behema on Yontif for various reasons. Either because you have to go and paint the animal with the red paint that they would put on the 10th animal, or because you're being masaking it, so therefore it's like Masakin Mana. Various reasons are given for why we don't actually do the Hafrosha on Rosh Hashanah. The Efshel Asa B'Yontif, because you can't go and take the Maisos off on Yontif. Therefore, Lefiko Chichdimu, they brought it earlier, Be'asim Tisha B'Elul, on the 29th day of Elul. Elul is never 30 days, it's always 29 days, so therefore, that's when they called it the 29th day of Elul. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rabbi Avo, Kol Han D'Tininon B'Froz, whenever we have the word pros, it means palga, means half, a part. Palga the shloshim yom kodem lamo shadoshim ilchosav, and this is the halfway point because it's shloshim yom fnei chag. You're supposed to learn the dinim of the chag, so therefore the halfway point is palga. So therefore that's where we got Rabbi Akiva Shita that it's palga the Pesach, palga the Atzeres, palga the chag. Then these were also called the hein granos. These were also bechule. This is this borrowed term from maestros that we call the Maisa Behema is the Goren. It's the time that you put it in the storehouse. So the Gemara says, Amar Yochanan, Mipnei Shem Pirkei Leida. These are the times that the animals give birth. So therefore, that's when these three times were taken. So you'll have a significant number of animals. You have to have 10 animals. Now, the animals can be born any time during the year, and they count. But they would have enough animals born in these three time periods that they would be able to go take Maisa Behema. And they wanted to do this right before the Yontif in order that there should be plenty of animals available for Yontif so people would have to eat the basar of kachim on Yontif. Rav Acha, Rav Tanach, Rav Berchia, B'shem Rav Shub and Levi, they said, K'dei shi ha-behema mitzuya lo l'rigolim. As I just pointed out, they wanted to have enough animals that there would be a plethora, a plenty of animals to eat on Yontif. Amar Yudin, another reason is, shelo yovo lidei bal te'acher. By doing it this way, nobody would come to delay going about bringing their korbanos. They would go bring them as soon as they could, and it wouldn't lead to bal te'acher. More questions this according to one version, and the way that you can understand this in the Korban Eida is that why would you think that there's a din of Baal Te'acher? Amar Yosa, this is a lashon of a question. Kol Amasha Tivlo over Baal Te'acher. If you go and do not take off Maaseh Behema, is there a din of Baal Te'acher in that? No, there is no such din of Baal Te'acher. That's one way of understanding it. The other way the Korban Eida explains is that no, it's a straight statement because we're concerned that there's a din of Baal Te'acher, so therefore Mitzok Shu Torim Somuch L'Regolim. Since he'll do this next to the Regolim, Lo Yishkach Milakriva, it won't lead to there being a Baal Te'acher. Alternatively, says Inami, Im Lo Yaaser Kol Pam Somuch L'Regel. If you didn't go do a little bit each time by the Regel, Kima Pam Achas. If you only did it all at once, Yaaser Kol Behemosav. So Lo Yavi Kol Masor Sav BeRegel Rishon Yerushalayim. He won't bring it all up to Yerushalayim because there's a lot. Ki Rav Mimenu Leochem. It's too much to eat BeRegel Echad. And as a result, Mitoch Kach Umasho Son. He's going to leave them in his house BeVeso VeYovel Lidei Baal Te'acher. And it in fact will lead to Baal Te'acher. This is a very good break point for us to stop and. With this, we conclude today's share.